Hey guys, we try to keep the Chicks in Charge free for everybody. The one thing that we do ask though is that if you get any value out of our episodes or any of the content that we produce on social media, please share with a friend, share the show, please leave a rating for future listeners, and that way we can try to keep this free of ads and any subscription costs that you might have.
Hey, hi friends!
Guys. We hope that you are all doing well. Thanks for tuning in again this week. Shasta and I are so excited to announce our guest for this week. We have Katie Richter with Cuneo Advertising.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me, ladies.
Thank you for joining us and taking the time out of your day for us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So just an intro for our listeners. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and kind of how you found automotive. And we talked a little bit before, and that was an interesting journey.
It was.
I'm with Cuneo Advertising, president and COO. I've proudly served the organization for 18 and a half years. I was a mere child when I started. But, you know, it's been an incredible journey where I started in the account team, pretty early in my career and, you know, really was able to grow and thrive and build a career that I'm pretty proud of.
Love that. That is exciting.
It's hard to find somebody nowadays that's been in the business this long.
Oh, it is.
I'm almost like a dinosaur, I think.
Oh, not quite.
No,
not you.
I know.
It is rare to find somebody who's been in an organization for over 10 years and then to sit there and say almost 20 years. It's almost unheard of. There's a few of us out there.
Yeah. I think that the automotive industry has a really high burnout rate. Mm-hmm. You have to constantly be on top of your game, being ready to pivot, being ready to go on to the next thing. And a lot of people just start up for it.
It's high pressure. It's fast moving. And it's about, you know, being resourceful and quick.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about what solutions Cuneo offers the automotive industry.
You know, it's pretty easy to say we're an ad agency, we're full service. But when you really think about what our areas, our core pillars will be creative, strategy, and I call it data, but it's more than that. It's media, it's execution, it's deployment, it's that tech stack. Mm-hmm. I think our industry that we serve, agencies have turned into just one big tech stack. And we've lost a lot of creativity. And Cuneo really deeply believes that creativity and that brand matters, maybe now more than ever. And I shouldn't even use the term now, or maybe it's now. It is more important than ever as we see the world of turnkey programs and direct to VDP and automation just going and going and going. As a dear friend of mine says all the time, it's hard to build a brand and display it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you don't focus on that brand and the whys and those really important reasons to buy, the reality is you're just part of that commodity world. And it's all a race to the bottom on price. And we know that our agency's ability to deliver results is not just about driving the traffic and the leads and the clicks. It's about building the long-term value of that brand and the reasons why a consumer should choose you.
Right. I love that. All of that being said, what do you think is the biggest mistake that dealers are making right now with their marketing?
Homogenized marketing.
Explain that.
When you're running the exact same programs as all of your peers in the exact same market, your ads look the same. Your tone sounds the same. Your cars look the same. And when you're just running the exact same campaigns, all of your competitors are, and non-competitive brands, they all look the same. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big mistake because as we're coming out of the last 4 years of, you know, really good gross profits at the organizations, and all of a sudden we're seeing compression of that, of those profits, you got to do something different.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the last 4 years, what effects did the pandemic have on Cuneo?
Oh, you know, I'm just going to say it kind of sucked in a lot of ways. Am I allowed to be that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the reality is I'm just going to give you an example. One of my dearest friends and clients. I walked in one day. I'm going to leave his name. I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to put his name out there. I walked in there and I was like, you look fantastic. This was May of 2022. And he goes, well, I feel fantastic. I just came off the best gross profit month in our entire company history. Mm-hmm. They're on third generation right now.
Wow.
And I said, I know, I can see it coming out of your pores. And he kind of laughed and he says, it's probably been a good time for you too, hasn't it? And I said, no, actually not, because those cars sold themselves.
Mm-hmm. What are they marketing for?
Yeah.
We saw the same thing. We were this close to making a decision to cut our marketing portion of our company out because we didn't have dealers that felt like they needed it. And now that side of the business is booming. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I replied to him, I said, would you do me a favor? And he's like, what's that? And I said, could you just not resent me when you actually have to spend money again? And we walked into the meeting and he said to his sons, I think we need to increase our ad budget. Now, no, that's a gesture. But the reality is, I think it's just about having the conversation. And I shouldn't really say it sucked. It was a great learning experience. We were really able to invest in our future and not be, we weren't as stressed as I think a lot of our peer organizations are. But we really determined, what do we want to be and what do we want to look like after we come out of this?
Yep.
And we really started leaning into, besides a tech stack, what's going to be most important? And we doubled down on investments creatively. And we did a lot of experimentation with different technologies. And good news is we're poised and ready.
Love that. That's amazing. And we had a similar experience too. You know, like I said, we have our social media portion of the company. And whenever COVID hit, we had to make some decisions and most of our dealers cut their ad spend. And that was whenever I heard the Mario Andretti quote. Oh, crap. I'm going to forget it now. Do you remember what it is? When everybody else hits the brakes, I hit the gas was what it was. And I related it so much back to marketing because everybody was hitting the brakes on marketing. But the few clients we had that were still hitting the gas were winning. Mm-hmm.
Oh, totally. We had clients who kept that money going. And I'm not saying irresponsible levels, but kept going and focusing on their brand. Yep. And focusing on the strategic investments, and the market share absolutely exploded.
Right.
And quite frankly, when you compared the profits versus those who were more aggressive and investing during that time versus those who didn't, the story told itself.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely. So you have some big things going on right now. Tell us what your next big project is that you're working
on. You know, we've got a couple of projects that we're really focused on right now. And part of it is, I think, our agency's commitment to always kind of being in front of the conversation. I'm going to start with a little history. Our organization was built and founded in 1977 by a gentleman by the name of Larry Cunha.
Wow. 47 years.
Yeah. And one of my favorite exercises we went through as an organization is to kind of go through the timelines that were big moments. And one of my favorite stories within that timeline exercise, when Larry was one of the first agencies in the entire Midwest, I'm saying entire, to get a Macintosh computer to do art-ready ads for the newspapers in the 80s.
Wow. That's
amazing. And he was so far ahead of the curve, none of the newspapers could even take his ads.
Oh, no.
I love that story. And then even where he created carsoup.com as a solution for his dealers, that was in the 90s.
Wow.
So it propelled us as an organization, number one, to think about the solutions in the future for our clients, but also it's this investment, both financially and intellectually, in technology. So we were one of the first to launch paid search campaigns. We were one of the first, we launched programmatic before anybody else had the nerve to, and all of our competitors ran around and said we were selling snake oil. Now everybody's got keys to the kingdom, don't they? So today we hear the buzzword of AI. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody is. But the problem is AI is, in an agency perspective today, being used to drive efficiency. Mm-hmm. It's being used to automate and to create monetization of ad budgets, mm-hmm. and to streamline, make it easy. We're looking at ways to create mutually beneficial approaches to AI and how AI can be used between the dealer and the agency.
Right.
So that there is, like I said, that benefit both creatively, institutionally, and to really help a dealership be set up with real information at their fingertips, not to replace people, but to enhance what we're already doing together as well as separate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're really focused on that. We've also really been focusing on for actually like the last 4 or 5 years on really determining the difference between human traffic and bot traffic. And I do believe while that's a big buzz conversation in the industry, I feel very few are actually truly embracing it.
Right.
And so those are some areas we're really focused on.
I love that. What do you see is happening across the industry right now as far as branding and advertising that we should be looking forward to in the next 6 months?
As far as what we're seeing or what we see, can you say that again? I'm sorry.
What we're seeing across the industry right now to foresee for the next 4 to 6 months.
You know, I really think what we're seeing is this jump back into marketing and advertising. And I really feel as though it goes back to that turnkey homogenized.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like dealers are going to continue to spend a lot of money in those areas. I feel as though dealers are going to continue to spend it with the Google resellers and the meta programs of the click to the VDP. And I think the trend is going to continue to see low cost, low return on those areas. And I'm not saying any of those programs are bad. It's in alignment with something that is much more direct to consumer.
Mm-hmm, right.
Working with those customer databases and how do we activate those customer databases, that first party data, in the most cost efficient way? Now, our industry is trying to say the answer to that is a significant CDP investment. I'm not sure that that is viable for dealers, for everyday dealers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The large dealer groups, those with high levels of capital. But at the end of the day, you have to, your dealers are going to have to do more than drive their vehicle in front of a consumer on a click to
right.
a BD.
Right.
And I think brand can be achieved in a lot of different ways, within social, within video, within content curation, within your dealership, and how you distribute that content. How you create custom content to respond to opportunities of people who are knocking on your doors.
Right.
There's a lot of ways to invest in brand and not be, you know, the old school throwing ad on the local news, but really determining in your market and for your brands and for your customers what brand really is.
Well, and Katie, on a professional level, I had the pleasure of working very closely with you not too long ago with one of your clients, and we won't name drop him here on the show, but his brand is so amazing. I mean, everything about his brand, on top of just him alone speaking to my heart, you know, that gave me just the tiniest little glimpse into what you guys are doing. And it was I wish I could say it, but I can't. It's just phenomenal what you guys are doing with them.
You can't scale the work. And you have to have the systems and processes in your organization to be able to efficiently be able to execute that output. But at the end of the day, it's about the real conversations you have with your customer and how you really learn their business so you can properly articulate that brand.
Right. And I can attest to the fact that I don't know that I've seen another vendor or dealer partner outside of ourselves that truly cares about their clients as much as I saw you care about your clients. And that was huge for me, because although I know that all of us vendors out there say we love our clients, we truly care about our clients, but the level of work that you went for them was above and beyond what most partners would do.
Thank you.
That's just my two cents.
Wow.
And brand is something that so many dealers don't understand is literally the only thing that sets you apart from the dealer selling the same make of models 2 miles down the road.
Right.
Relate it back to Ford Direct.
Yeah. If they can get the exact same vehicle in the same city for more than likely pretty close to the same price with the same incentives, why should they buy from you? And dealers don't understand. They have to tell that story.
Yep.
Why should you buy from me?
There's a lot of dealers who do understand it. I think the problem is the lack of profitability or the ability to scale a brand from a vendor or an agency partner.
Right. Because you can track your ROI on your brand awareness.
No, it's hard to do. It's also about having the right conversations and some of the tricks to the trade on how to, you know, follow the data that you have to see what that impact of your brand really is. And then when you start having timelines of data and you start looking at that true revenue line, cost per sale, cost per lead, you're really able to pay it off. And there are a few dealers in this country that, man, they are brand champions. I am so proud of the work that they do. God. I have really good friends who give presentations on brand awareness studies and investing in those brands and what's really important to dealers. And I really just implore more dealers to think about themselves.
Right.
And say, what do I mean to the community?
Right.
What do I mean to my team members? What do I mean? It sounds selfish, but it's not.
Right.
How do you tell that story?
Right. So tell me, let's say you have a dealer that comes to you and they have zero branding whatsoever. And they're not ready to bring on an agency yet, but they want one piece of advice on how to take the next step. What's the piece of advice that you give them?
At least tell your story in social media. Organically.
Yep.
Take some time to update your About Us page, whatever the boilerplate stuff that they put in with the website provider. Could you update it with your story? Can you take those snapshots and just use that in your follow-up communication with the individuals who are potential buyers? Right. You don't call them leads, call them buyers or shoppers at least, and take the time to tell snapshots of that story.
Right. I love that. That was such a great answer because I think that's where I would have started too, was to start organically. 100%.
Just ask yourself the question first.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, what you think dealers could improve on, but what is one thing you're seeing consistently right now that dealers are doing right?
I think they're really focused on processes. And they're really focusing on making sure they're ready for the market that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And I think like all of us, we had some levels of fatigue the last 4 years. Yep. And it was a little easy to sell cars during that time frame. Mm-hmm. And I think right now people are investing their time and doing the right thing by focusing on their people and their processes and readying themselves for kind of the unknown of what we're walking into.
Right.
Not my opinions on what we're walking into, but those are just my crystal ball.
Right. That was all so great, Katie. You've given us so much information to take away from the show today. Do you have something? Oh, okay. So what events do you typically find yourself at?
You know, we go to NADA almost every year. We're there as attendees and, you know, we meet with a lot of our clients and partners and manufacturers and some of our clients that we work with outside of the tier three automotive side, where we're focused on automotive aligned organizations. We try to attend one or two of the digital dealers and a handful of other events. But, you know, we really try to focus a lot of our efforts and our investments into focusing on those customers and being able to really be present because, you know, we're traveling and we're seeing clients all across the country today. And I think that's really important to have a good balance between events and boots on the ground.
So you have 20 plus years in automotive, and something that we like to ask all of our guests is, what is something, male or female, that one piece of advice that you would give somebody that is new to the automotive industry?
Be curious. Ask questions. Find your network. And so you have people to work with you to stimulate that curiosity. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really important piece, because it's not always an easy business.
Right.
And if you don't have those,
rarely an easy business, actually.
No. And you know, if you're curious, you'll research, you'll immerse yourself. You won't get stuck as often, because you can't know it all.
Yeah.
That's very true. I mean, that's part of the reason we've made it to the point where we are, is 100% our network and our group of friends, colleagues. I mean, some of them are like family to us.
Oh, for sure. I mean, most of them are like family to us. And I mean, I also think about our own eagerness to self-learn and to self-teach ourselves how to do so many things. I mean, I think of how many days you've spent in CRMs with no training in a certain CRM. You just go in there and you learn the thing. Mm-hmm. Right. And nobody's taught you how to do that. You just did it. And so I think everything Katie just said was so spot on with even just things that we had to learn so early on.
Well, even just the transition from Universal to GA4. I mean, I could go into Universal and be I was set. It was easy. I was proficient. Yep. All of a sudden I had to learn something new. If I wasn't a curious person, I probably just would have complained about it, which I did plenty of that too. But you just start hunting and pecking and you figure it out. You research some blogs, you pick up the phone, you call those people in the network, and next thing you know, you're back where you need to be.
Yeah. If you're waiting for somebody to come along and hold your hand and guide you into it,
it's not going
to
happen.
You're never going to learn anything.
Not in the car business. There's plenty of industries where I think you can, you know, slide in and be comfortable, and you can't get comfortable in this industry.
Right.
Nope. I agree. Well, Katie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day today to hop on with us.
Anytime, ladies. It's been
phenomenal. I wish I could talk today. I just keep messing up everything I'm trying to say.
I'm having one of those days today.
I think someone's correct for caffeine. She's like, so fast.
Am I talking fast?
More than usual. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Like, I'm used to it, but. But thank you, Katie. I know that this taking any time out of your day is a lot, and I appreciate it. We value your time, and we had so much fun with you today.
Thank you, ladies.
All right. So without further ado, in a world where you can be anything, be kind, because you never know what battles others are facing. So while out in the world this week, remember to light it up. I'm Jess.
I'm Shasta.
And that's Katie. And we are the Chicks in Charge. Thanks for watching, guys.
Yay, you've made it this far. And if you want to help the chicks out and add some value, make sure you subscribe right now.
Click that little red button down below. Do it. Do it now.